This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, but we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
When we feel connected and close, then we also feel safe and secure to go and explore the world, right?
On our own.
And that autonomy, that differentiation, that individuation, I love these words, they're important because, and I feel this, I get really excited when you go and do your own thing and you come back because it's like, I had space for me. I parented on my own. I did whatever for me. And then you come back with a renewed energy and I'm excited. And you get to bring that renewed energy from you into our marriage, into our relationship.
I know you are doing the best that you can right now. Your relationships matter to you. You are important. And yet over time, we get stuck. We get lost or we stop showing up as our true self. We get hung up on the stories we tell ourselves, the comparisons, or feeling like we are not good enough. I'm Not Your Shrink is a podcast aimed at helping you feel connected to yourself, to others, and to live a life that is in line with what matters most to you. I'm Dr. Tracy Dalgleish, clinical psychologist and couples therapist. I bring you clinical knowledge and evidence-based research, experiences of sitting in the therapist chair, and being a wife and mother to talk about everyday issues we all face to help you change the dialogue in your life. Let's dive in.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for clicking play and joining me here for another episode. You just missed some juicy stuff between me and today's guest. So we are starting in a spot of laughter. And well, maybe I'm laughing a bit more than you. Greg's here to join me for the podcast today. Greg, did you dress up for me today?
Yeah, there's a collar on my shirt. Things are looking up.
Things are looking up. Stepping out of dad mode.
Yeah, the backward hat is still on though.
That's okay. You need to be comfortable, especially when I'm putting you on the hot seat again.
Again, yeah. I'm ready for it.
Ready. So before we plugged in the click okay for the mic, I'll just fill you in on what we're laughing about. We did a sound check and I really liked how Greg had said, Greg, sound check, check, check. As if who else would be here in the room?
I don't know. Seems like the right thing to do.
It's great.
I'm an amateur.
Nah, you're a pro. It's great. I'm so glad that you're having this conversation with me because I don't think there is anyone else better for us to dive into this conversation, especially because you and I actually just did the 100 questions on our date night and we had a lot of fun doing it. So that's why we wanted to bring it here in the podcast so that you, the listener, could hear how it went for us and then also for us to talk about just what's happening in people's relationships, which are the common things that show up in this community every single day.
Right. Yeah, everyone's busy. Lives are busy. Like I had to schedule this podcast like 6 months ago, waiting for you to get through all these book edits. I mean, certainly worth the wait. And it was pretty cool to watch you go through that process as stressful and kind of convoluted as it was at times. But here we are.
Here we are. It's wild. And I remember when I sent the book in, there was this like sigh of relief from you of like, okay, we're going forward.
Yeah. And what do we do now?
I was just talking on a podcast yesterday, actually, how I didn't watch TV. You and I did not watch TV for those 5 months while I was writing the book.
Yeah, that's true. It's not a bad thing, but shifted the focus quite a bit.
100%. And, you know, in the past, I mean, gosh, just the other weekend, I had my last round of book edits, which meant I needed to comb through alongside with my team at Pessy Publishing to look for, are there any commas in the wrong place? Is it the right whatever spot in the right mark? And that was like head down the whole weekend. I read the whole book, 300 pages. In a weekend. And that was just one of those moments again where you and I had to disconnect and become those kind of like two ships passing in the night.
Right.
And I think sometimes, you know, what's so important in our relationships is that we don't get to always be connected and always be close all the time. And sometimes for some people, they start to panic almost when there is a little bit of that disconnection, when there is a little bit of that space. And yet we know relationships go through these different seasons. So like, for example, you and I writing the book, by the way, if you don't know already, the book is coming out on September 12th. It's available for pre-sale. You can check it out on my website. All of the exciting things. I can't wait for you to read these stories around the four cases that I've worked with. And including our own marriage that is on those pages. And the common thread is just how many people continue to say, I didn't sign up for this. Which in some way brings us to how parenthood just can pull us apart.
It can. Before we dive into that, though, I think it's important. Like, we use the example of you writing a book. Like, that's a very big thing. But I don't want to lose sight of the kind of everyday stuff that people are in the weeds doing, right? So yes, we went through this process, super big project, but people have that with family, with kids, with their own work, right? It may not be as defined as writing, air quotes, writing a book, right? But they have their own challenges in the relationship that's kind of leading them kind of to this same spot, kind of the ships passing the nights, the example you use. You know, for a lot of folks listening, it's kids. I mean, I want to be empathetic. Not everyone can have kids, right? So we're kind of coming to this talk with that kind of point of privilege. You know, we're fortunate to have two lovely kids. But the reality is...
Yeah, the reality is that we have so many stressors in our life that show up. So it's not... This is a conversation not just for people who have children. This is a conversation for anybody in a relationship. Because what we know is that we don't get to take away stressors. We've got work. We have the demands of the home. We have the basement flood that we didn't plan for, or the sick dog that we didn't know was going to happen, or the health of an in-law or a parent or a loved one changes. Stressors are all around us. And so what happens so frequently for couples is that we become this, you know, transactional experience between two people. And this is one of my favorite analogies that I use with couples that I work with, which is it is like two ships passing in the night. Instead of actually my other favorite analogies around trees and how I understand couples is like each day we need to consciously choose to grow our tree branches together. That's a choice we have to make each day. And it can be incredibly hard when we are faced with so many of life stressors.
Well, it's just a dilution of time, whatever it is, right? So we only have so much time, right? So we need to naturally kind of try to preserve some of that time and be very intentional about that energy we put towards our partner, regardless of the season of your relationship. And I think that's important, whether you're like, you could be with someone for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the stuff comes up, work, friends, your phone, like it's endless, right? There's such a, you know, the attention economy, it's hard, right? And our partners are not exempt from that.
100%. And so when we did this one, so when I created the 100 questions to spark a deeper conversation with your partner, when I created this guide, I was thinking of not just the couple who have two kids and aren't sleeping through the night and can barely mutter like, why did you put the peanut butter in the fridge kind of moment when it's not supposed to be in the fridge. But I was also thinking about that new couple who are in the 6 month limerence honeymoon stage.
Or coming out of it. Yeah.
Or coming out of it, that there, no matter what season in your relationship you are in, there is always this opportunity to deepen that connection. My image that I love giving is almost like we as ourselves are like an avocado. I know, Greg, it's like, yeah, I'm just throwing all of my images out here, right? But like at the core, we just know this small, tiny piece of our partner.
Right.
And if you think we have on average 40 to 50,000 thoughts a day, I see just a small, tiny piece of you. I don't get to know all of the other piece of you. And when we stop being curious and open to explore that stuff, that's when we start to feel like two ships passing the night.
Yeah. And I think what really hit me when we went through the exercise, and I thought a lot about this, is like, yes, we're kind of parents with two kids and tired and doing all the things. It was awesome for that because it made it super easy. But man, if I had done this when we were like 6 months in, or like a couple is 3 months in, if you started to kind of have these conversations and these prompts, the benefit doing that early on and starting that kind of routine or cadence would be really powerful. It's kind of like if couples came to therapy preemptively. Not necessarily going to happen, but on a, like a lower level, this is a great thing to do earlier on that can actually almost get in front of some of these issues that we see showing up around communication. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to talk in a minute about some of the numbers we're seeing from your community, and it's frankly staggering.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about like a muscle memory. Like, think about that, though, right? The first time you go to do a new exercise, whether you're at the gym, at home, that lunge or the bicep curl or something, and you're holding the weight differently, it feels really strange the first time you do it. But then the more you do it, the more you put that memory into your body. That mm-hmm. can also be that memory within your brain of how you can connect with your partner.
Support for today's episode comes from Loop Earplugs. For so long after having children, I kept wondering why I was easily overwhelmed and felt like an angry mom. The noise from the kids, the dog barking, and the sounds around me from everyday life. But I now understand that I'm not an angry mom, and instead, my nervous system gets overwhelmed and overstimulated, which is why I've been turning more and more to my Loop earplugs to help me stay more regulated and engaged with the family. I'm using Loop Engage to help dampen the sound around me, and these Loop earplugs allow me to still be with every beat and conversation. I still hear Greg. I can still hear the kids. I love that they are so comfortable, and they come with 8 silicone ear tips to ensure the right fit for you. The best part for me is that I take them everywhere with me. They are proving the test of time, and not to mention they're stylish in my ears. Plus, we love the kids' versions, which we've been able to take to the movies for our kids. I'm so excited that Loop Earplugs is offering you, my community, a discount so that you too can tackle that overstimulation while still being engaged with the activities and people you love. Visit loopearplugs.com and use my code LOOP times Dr. Tracy for 10% off your order. That's LOOPXDRTRACY for 10% off your order. Support for today's episode comes from Cozy Earth. Picture this: you're planning your summer getaway, what to eat, where to visit, what to do, and where to sleep. But what about the comfort of home while you're away? This is something I'm constantly considering because if I'm uncomfortable in my clothing, then I'm more irritated, and then things overall just don't feel great. And this is where Cozy Earth comes in. Right now, you can get 35% off with code SHRINK at checkout. Cozy Earth isn't just about creating luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's about elevating and transforming your entire travel experience. Their bedding is so soft and buttery smooth, it beats any hotel sheets I've ever slept in. And Cozy Earth's bedding comes in these adorable totes, making it travel friendly and hassle free. These have been my go-to sheets for well over a year now, and they are a must no matter where you go. Plus, their loungewear is perfect for those long flights or car rides. Their temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew ensures that you stay cool and comfy on those long flights. I know not everybody is hitting the road or the skies this summer, and that's totally okay. You can also create your own sanctuary at home, and Cozy Earth has everything you need to make every moment feel more blissful.
Trust me, once you experience the comfort and quality of Cozy Earth, you'll never want to go back. My pajamas, the kids keep asking why I'm still wearing them. Visit CozyEarth.com, use my code SHRINK, S-H-R-I-N-K, at checkout to get 35% off. Discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Support for today's episode comes from ZocDoc. We all know there are things in life we have to compromise on, like the right way to load a dishwasher or whether those socks are going to stay on the floor for a week. Okay, in all seriousness, but when it comes to your mental health, there is no compromise. So we don't need to go back to that one therapist or one physician who didn't align with what we need just because they're available right now. We don't need to compromise on the care we need for our overall wellness. Instead, this is where ZocDoc comes in. This is a place where you can find and book hundreds of types of doctors, including therapists, psychologists, and psychiatrists. And you can find someone who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your well-being. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare hundreds of types of patient-reviewed in-network doctors, including mental health providers, and instantly book appointments with them online. You can search by location, availability, and insurance. Go to ZocDoc.com/INYS and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. If I needed this app, this is one that I would be going to. That's ZocDoc.com/INYS and get the care that you need today.
Okay, so this was a really interesting question when I polled our community. And the question was, do you wish you were having deeper conversations with your partner? And 89% of you said yes. And what do you think about that?
It's higher than I would have expected, truthfully. I mean, it might be a bit of audience capture that a lot of like our community is in a certain stage of life and that kind of thing. But I think even if you extrapolated to kind of couples at large, you can see where the trend is going, right? And then on some level, it does make sense, you know, given kind of our society and our attention right now, you know, it does make sense. It doesn't mean it's good. It's kind of, in a way, on a certain level, it's kind of sad, really. But,
I know. I want to blame our phones for this, which is such an issue, right?
So easy.
It's so easy to blame our phones. And then I'm also wondering, but what did this look like 30 years ago? I mean, surely people were doing their own activities as well. Perhaps they weren't so distracted. You know, it's not just our phones, but it is also our phones and how easy it is to get dopamine hits on the regular.
Yeah.
Every single second, right? And how many, so people who are listening, do you keep your phone in your pocket? And this is something that Craig and I talk a lot about, is like the accessibility and how easy it is just to put your hand in and to reach it out. And then suddenly you're scrolling and really you're just going to check the weather of, you know, do you need to put the kids with splash pants on today? But then suddenly you're in a different app scrolling all the other things. Like, I'm totally guilty of that.
You call me out in all the time. And when I do it, it's like, wow, like I didn't even know I was doing it. Like, and not proud to say that, but it's like, it's a thing. So I think to answer your question, did it happen 30 years ago with our parents? Or for sure. I just think they did different things.
It looks different.
It looked different. But now I think what happens with their phone is like, oh, we can just whip our phone out and like go have this dopamine hit and feel good in a micro moment to like get through this loss of connection, where maybe in the past, our parents maybe had to like sit with it. Like it would be awkward, longer silences. And like, there's more like body language and like some of that stuff around it versus us. Now we just go into our own little echo chamber on our phone and get our hit and move on.
You are talking about the ultimate way to deal with the internal pain we feel at the level of disconnection that we have in our relationships. Is that instead of turning towards our partner and saying, what makes you think that right now? Or what's happening to you right now? Or any of these questions we have in this guide, we can pick up our phone and say, subconsciously or unconsciously, I don't have to do that. I've got something else that's going to give me a hit. I've been using the movie title Sliding Doors. Do you remember that movie?
No.
Okay, so it's I need to update my references. It came out in 1998. That's wild.
That's 25 years ago.
I know. It's wild. So I'm thinking maybe some of my therapy clients don't actually know what I'm talking about when it's the Gwyneth Paltrow movie, Sliding Doors. It's this moment of missing each other so many times in our relationships. And we have these all the time, every single day because of our phone. Okay, so let me tell you some more numbers that came up in our community. Looking at the current situation, 89% of you said you felt some sort of like disconnection in the way that you are speaking with each other. 64% said they felt their conversations were transactional. Transactional being like, we've got to complete a task. We need to move our family forward in some way. You know, who's getting groceries? Did you pack the splash pans? Who's doing pickup and drop off? 25% of you felt that it was more two ships passing in the night, which means that only 11% of you are saying that you're having those deeper conversations. So it, when I even step back again, you've mentioned audience capture and thinking about who my community is. Most people in the community do have children. Right. And it speaks to the research where 67% of couples experience a significant decline in their relationship satisfaction in the first year after having a baby. That's huge.
It's not terribly surprising. It's obviously super unfortunate. I think your priorities shift so quickly. We prepare everything for baby, but probably not the relationship.
100%. That's exactly what we do. We prepare everything else, but we don't prepare relationships. We don't have these conversations. And I can think of the couples who show up in my office or inside Be Connected, my online program, where you can learn all the skills and tools I teach the couples in the convenience of your own home. And the people who do this before having a baby feel more prepared. They can have these conversations. They're not getting stuck in these deeper ruts where we just can't move through it. So I think it's, I really want people listening, I want you listening to know that if you are struggling in this hard season right now, you are not alone in your struggle. And I say that in the way where I don't want you to think your struggle is the same as my struggle. That would not be a sense of compassion, but in the sense that there's nothing shameful about this. If you do feel shame, I want to remove that and to let you know that, yeah, even we have been there. We have been in the depths of that. And it's also why writing, I didn't sign up for this. It felt like a huge miss if I didn't write our story in the book. And so our marriage it's on those pages, which is incredibly vulnerable for me as a therapist to put that out there, and you being so willing for me to tell our story.
Yeah, well, it was really important you show up authentically. And I'm not sure there's a better way to do that than to share your own experience.
Yeah, I agree.
Just circling back on that, I think in our own experience too, not that we had any regrets around kids, but if there was one kind of do-over, it would be being more intentional and more investing more time in some of these preemptive conversations around our relationship and like, what would happen if X happens? You know, how do we navigate Y? You know, what do we want to do for this holiday, for that holiday? Like if you had those conversations in advance, they don't have to be super detailed. It can be just kind of top level, just kind of getting on the same page or having an understanding of what the expectations are. Like how many partners go into having a child and really have no idea what each other's expectation is for, say, the first 2 weeks.
Of course.
Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe that's changed where they're having that conversation more, but I don't know, right?
No, because we're so focused on the birth, right? Sure. And who's going to be in the hospital? Who's visiting us then? And it's challenging that way. And I'll never forget this moment from my therapist chair when I asked a client who was struggling with very common struggles that we hear in our community, which is around the mental load, around the childcare labor, the domestic labor, the emotional and relationship labor, all being on her. And I had said to her, tell me about the roles that you have taken on watching from your parents. And then I said, and what do you think about your husband? And the aha moment of, oh, we are each doing exactly what we saw. And then asking the question of, is this what you want? Is this aligned with your own values? Or are you just enacting these roles? And she was able to step out of that and say, I don't want to keep doing that, which is huge. When I pushed a little bit further and asked another question, I wanted to know how much time approximately people were talking. And these numbers are big. 49% of you said that you were talking for less than 10 minutes a day.
Wow.
And that I intentionally asked outside of the transactional moments.
Right.
But transactional moments don't tend to take long. 38% of you said less than 30 minutes. So that's 87% of you saying less than 30 minutes a day. This is, again, on my Instagram community. Right. This is not a proper sample size from a research data perspective, but it aligns with the data, which is that most parents in a research study where there was a video camera in the home of parents with young children, they were talking for less than 30 minutes a day. They were in the same room for less than 30 minutes a day, which is wild. And only 2% said people were talking for 2+ hours a day, which is it's a lot when you think about that's going to work and things like that.
I think the bigger deal is less than 30 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. I think it speaks to the need to have really quality and having some of these deeper conversations. Because the reality is you're not going to go from 10 minutes to an hour. Like, we have to be pragmatic about how much time you can connect. But I think it really speaks to the level of quality and engagement in those times that you can have. Mm-hmm. Yes, it would be nice to be more, and you can work to that and implement some of the rituals that maybe we'll talk about later. Like, those things will help, but you have to be realistic about, given the season you're in, how much time you're going to have. And that puts an emphasis on what that time looks like.
I love that you brought that up, because that comes back to this piece around, is it necessarily quantity? Like, we're going for 2 hours, or are we going for quality? Which is, do we have 10 minutes to ask one probing question to stir things up a little bit? Yeah.
Well, I think it'd be nice to have a little bit of both. Can we up the amount of time? And up the quality, more importantly. Because you take that stat on less than 10 minutes, like, that's, one could argue, problematic.
I'm only going to put in 10 minutes. You've got 10 minutes. Go. I have to admit, sometimes at bedtime, I'm like, I can just do 10 minutes and we talk.
Yeah, but if it's quality, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think we have to be realistic about what people can and can't do.
Oh, 100%. And I think that is why I encourage people to find those short rituals.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like, in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
So you and I having this date night out recently, which was like this perfectly, not perfect, but like, it was just like one of those yes dates where it's like the babysitter came at 4:30. It was a beautiful sunny day out. We went for a walk. We got to the restaurant at 5. We got home at 9. The kids had been asleep for an hour already. We got to watch TV, right? Like, it was just kind of one of those great date nights that things worked out where, you know, we like to go to bed and we enjoy our sleep. So, but I think one of the things that shows up for people around tackling this type of thing is resentment. Because people will say, I just don't even feel like asking them these questions. I just don't even want to talk to them about this stuff because of this layered in resentment that is showing up.
Yeah.
And I know in this community, because most people are women, that we're getting the female perspective. Mm-hmm. But I also know that men also experience resentment with how things are going in their relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I can probably chime in a little bit from that side. I certainly don't speak for everyone, but I think on some level, there's a shift for men. You're not as important in your relationship as you once were if kids come along or changes in the family. You might feel like your needs, your friends, the things you like to do don't happen as often. You lose social connection. So, you know, you're maybe not as physically fit or healthy as you once were just because time changes. So I think resentment just kind of shows up. And
I'm going to layer in something right there for you, because what I know about resentment is that there are two things that tend to show up. One is we are not getting our needs met. And that is either because our partner's not meeting them or we're not meeting them ourselves.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah. We're not getting our needs met. Or two, we're not even communicating our needs.
That too.
So then we think of the challenge that particularly, you know, what we bring to this conversation is our heterosexual experience.
Correct.
But the challenge that you and I both face is that I, as a woman, as a girl, was taught to please, to look pretty, to smile. And if I didn't smile, there are all kinds of other things that people would say about me, right? Like, that's my stuff.
Don't be bitchy.
Don't be bitchy. And to care for others. So my internal messaging is don't put your needs out there. But you have a whole other set of internal messaging, which ultimately boils down also to don't be sad, don't put your needs out there.
Yeah. I think that's ultimately what I was getting at, is if the male is not expressing their needs and not kind of filling up some of their cup on their own, it leads to this resentment, this frustration, and it kind of all plays into this dynamic about, you know, again, they'd rather just go on their phone and try and connect with their partner, because really deep down, they're just frustrated. They're not getting to do the things that they want. And I recognize like how silly and kind of privileged that sounds. But the reality is the best partnerships, they each kind of forge their own identity and then come back together. Right. So if one or both of those partners are doing that, creating this resentment, creating this frustration, I know for a fact when I don't get that social connection, you know, I like to go biking, you know, have a little bit of time for myself, you know, it can kind of feel it in your body physically, and it doesn't lead to, you know, kind of breaking down those barriers to having better, deeper communication.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's hard is that then I'm wrapped up in all of my own stuff, and then I don't see your stuff, and you don't communicate it, and then right, and then around we go.
Yeah.
And neither one of us feel good at the end of the day. So I think what we're talking about right here is just the importance of connection in all aspects of our life. When we feel connected and close, then we also feel safe and secure to go and explore the world, right?
On our own. Yeah.
On our own.
Yeah.
On our own. And that autonomy, that differentiation, that individuation, I love these words, they're important because, and I feel this, I get really excited when you go and do your own thing and you come back, because it's like, I had space for me. I parented on my own. I did whatever for me. And then you come back with a renewed energy and I'm excited. And you get to bring that renewed energy from you into our marriage, into our relationship.
Yeah, it's like each partner is going to kind of recharge the batteries and on a smaller level, right? And hopefully they can bring that energy back into the couple dynamic.
Uh-huh. Okay, and so for you listening, I'm appealing to you for why this is so important to deepen your connection with your partner, because when we are connected, we can navigate our worlds better. We can navigate stress better. And we actually know that from the research that relationship distress is connected to long-term physical health conditions, mental health conditions. And there's a relationship back and forth between, if we are distressed in our relationships and feeling disconnected and dissatisfied, we are more likely to experience depression and anxiety. And when we are depressed and anxious, we are more likely to then experience, it's kind of like the chicken and the egg, like which 100%. Came first, right? So it's important for us. And then also too, I think of like our nervous systems, if I go to that level, that you and I can like have this like calm when we feel connected, the calm in the storm, because then you and I are more solid parent A, parent B, we're a solid parenting team. When we feel connected, everything just starts to feel a little bit easier. All right, let's talk about how you can actually start this conversation. Because again, when I polled you, 67% said it is not easy to start conversations with your partner.
That's how I do.
That's really high.
I mean, from my perspective, the daily rituals is a great place to start. You know, I'm probably on the slightly more like anxious side of things. So having something that's like a little bit more planned or routine based, you know, for me, the greeting and parting in the morning and after work kind of thing is really important to me. It kind of signals the emotional and physical connection. It's not going to be a long time, but it's gives us an opportunity to connect. And that piece is really important to me. So it's creating kind of this, it's kind of an oxymoron, but like this planned intentionality, I guess, like it's becomes this routine. And that's a great place to start.
I think that's so important because we often think that to heal our relationship, we need more words. Mm-hmm. We need to go back and rehash out the thing. And then we're going to add in the other thing from the year before and then the year before, right? And so I think sometimes when it comes to bridging that connection, we need more of the physical connection, right? The hugs, the morning hug, the morning choice of not turning to your phone first, turning to your partner and having a hug, greeting them at the door or parting, right? It's just that physical piece there that says we're in this together. And it's not to say that people who have histories of trauma or who don't feel safe in terms of that physical element, but it is to say like, what's that small thing? And like, again, I hear this all the time from people. And even just the example between you and I this morning, Greg, I don't know if you know this, I think to tell you, you had put the towels in the bathroom. And last night I remember thinking, oh, I'm probably going to forget my towel tomorrow. I'm probably going to get in the shower because I washed the towels yesterday. And it was there this morning. And it was just one of those like small moments of you thought about us in an intentional way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like the nights when you put toothpaste on my toothbrush are really powerful. So yeah, so the people who feel this kind of sense of disconnection and not knowing where to start, I want you to hear this. This doesn't have to be big. These can be moments that are built within your day to help bridge that connection. And you can also intentionally make it as part of your day. So for us, we also do gratitude sometimes at dinner or sometimes we do it at bedtime, which is a really great way for our family to connect, which circles us back to this pain point that I know the community struggles with. And I know many people struggle with this. I often give this homework to other people, to my clients or to those inside Be Connected. And I say, I want you to start a weekly meeting. And people just don't like that one. But hear me out, because the idea of a weekly meeting is not so that I'm going to give you, as Eve Rotsky so beautifully said in her Fair Play book, the shit you don't do list. I'm not going to do that with you. But rather, this is a checkpoint for us. This is a point for us to ask, you know, it could even be something like three questions. One, what are we grateful for about each other? What's stressful coming up this week and how can I support you? And then the last one could be something like, it could be one of these questions from the guide.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't have to be a, you know, hold on tight. I'm going to tell you all the things you did wrong this week. That's one part. But then the other piece is that for people who tend to be more of those feedback givers, and actually, you know this because we just uploaded the lesson on how to give feedback to your partners inside Be Connected, and people who are the freely feedback givers tend to do it frequently, which can overwhelm the other person, lead the other person to shut down. And then ultimately the feedback just kind of lands on deaf ears. So the weekly meeting is a great way to write all the things down in a note section on your phone, and then come back to the weekly meeting and ask yourself, what's really important about what I want to share?
I think what the weekly meeting also does is when you have that dynamic where someone's more the feedback giver, it kind of levels the playing field because it's this set kind of time. Mm. If you think about like a, a job interview or a very structured meeting at work, it's very two-way, hopefully. So if you can, it kind of levels the playing field. So it's not just kind of that top-down, the person who's more the feedback giver takes up all the oxygen, allows a little bit more of kind of that
ebb and flow
back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, you could even structure it so like you each have equal time, air quotes.
Yes. And the commitment, the verbalizing out loud, let's do this weekly meeting. I constantly hear Dr. Tracy talking about it. Maybe she knows what she's talking about. I don't know. But, you know, can we try this? And what we can both work on by doing this is practice listening to each other. And for me, I know as I tend to be the feedback giver, I tend to be more of the critical partner in our dynamic. My work is to be able to say to you, and I'm practicing to just listen and giving you that reassurance of that. So I think there's this piece here of you, when you want to start this conversation, go in with openness around it. Not predicting how your partner is going to respond, not saying that this is like some kind of fixed or rigid thing, but it can be an ebb and flows. And so the other piece is it something that's planned as part of the weekly meeting, or is it maybe an impromptu try? And you get to try that depending on your relationship. And I always encourage this for people is that whatever you are hearing in terms of what people are talking about, map it onto the context of your life. If life is really busy right now and you find yourselves washing pump parts at night, 9 p.m. at night, stand beside each other and say, hey, I have a fun question. Let's ask each other. Mm-hmm. And it can be as simple as that of just doing it in that moment. What were some of your hangups for having a conversation like this?
I think like many, just kind of like knowing where to start. How do I ask questions that's going to lead to more meaningful, deeper connection.
And not the fights.
Yeah. I don't want to, you don't want to, like you said earlier, you don't want to rehash all the things. Yeah. I mean, there's probably an avoidant piece of wanting to talk about hard things. That's where I think this guide is so good, because it can just give you some direction on things outside of the mundane kind of tactical, transactional, day-to-day stuff. It gets a little bit deeper and can be a little bit more fun and playful.
I really liked that we didn't have to think. So when we took this to the date night with us, it was there already. And it allowed us to have fun and playfulness. And I remember you saying how this was really great because it felt more like we were focusing on the process and not the outcome.
Yeah.
And so I do like that too, how you're saying it's like it takes the pressure out. So you have questions already and you like the questions.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I read it, they're really thought provoking. A couple things I really liked. A lot of them were historical, which I found really thought provoking. I think right now we often focus on kind of the problems of the present and what we're going to do in the future. So it was really interesting to revisit some of those memories, and the good and the bad ones, because ultimately that's kind of my story and that's who we are. So I thought that was really intriguing. And the other piece is really around, it wasn't really about the question itself sometimes. It's like, what question or thought did that question or memory did that question lead to? So I think what we found is like each question was almost like a starting point, and it kind of created this conversation that just really happened organically. And, you know, when you trigger memories and you can, triggers a memory of a certain story, and then maybe it's a good memory or something funny, and then you start storytelling, and you kind of, it really creates this great conversation, which is the point, just based on a starting point of one of these questions. And there's 100 of them, so there's really endless opportunities.
Lots in there. And I want to emphasize too for people listening, because you know, sometimes when I hear people talking about stuff, I'm like, well, that's you. That's because that's you guys.
Yeah.
But in all fairness to people listening, I've asked you some of these questions before. And before you've been like, I don't know. No, I don't know. And sure. It's like planting seeds and coming back to it. And if you didn't know, it's okay, because I've planted the seed. And then we can come back to it at another time, or you move on to a different question, which is what the fun thing was.
There was questions I couldn't remember. Like some of the historical ones,
which I mentioned a minute ago, were great to think about. But some stuff I'm like, I literally couldn't remember. I couldn't answer. It was hard to. So you just kind of move on and don't get bogged down in it. I mean, it's not a test, obviously. It's an opportunity to connect. One thing I did want to mention real quick before we go past the meeting piece from a minute ago. I think people get caught up in like the term meeting, or like it sounds a bit gitchy almost. Like it's really easy to be like eye roll, like, oh no, like
so true.
Right? Like,
yeah, I get it.
But just take it for what it is. Like call it something different, whatever it is, right? It's, you know,
are we having a session?
You know what I mean? Like it sounds very like administrative and kind of boring. So I just wanted to flag that, because I think particularly if you're listening to this, maybe saying this to your male partner, like I can see the group male eye roll, like versus
team meeting. The weekly meeting. I get it. What's the new, we need to find a different name for that. I want to share what happened when I asked you question 24. I had asked, if you could relive one moment in your life, what would it be? Who was there and what are you doing? And I loved how you responded to this one, because you were like, okay, well, like, do I have to say our wedding? Do I have, and like, yeah. It's funny to see our different processes, because I actually wasn't even thinking of that, because those were just these obvious moments. And so you and I had both declared out loud, there's obvious moments that of course we would relive, you know, the birth of our son, our daughter, our wedding day. Those are those like obvious moments, but then you had actually given me a different memory, and that permission to kind of step outside of the obvious and to go into something different was really cool. And that felt like us shifting outside of the outcome, right? The goal of like the yes, no, or the perfect response, or how we should do it. And it just really created something special about how we were talking about it.
Yeah, I think actually having done this now, it actually encouraged people to like give each other permission to like not answer the obvious. Is like, if you're going to go into this, say it's okay. We're going to totally, the kids, the marriage, that stuff is kind of off the table. We'll take that as an obvious unless there's some kind of context to it. And really focus on maybe some of the less obvious or obscure things, because that helps you get to know your partner. It's going to elicit more questions, a deeper conversation. You might hear a story you've never heard before, and all of a sudden you've had this really great experience together.
Yeah, I agree. And then you had also said, because I wrote this note down from you, you're like, it's kind of like we're gamifying it. Like there's no judgment. There's nothing attached to like my adequacy or even like our enoughness as partners. Like, you know, you don't have to answer these questions so your partner will like it. You answer it because it's building this connection.
Yeah. Answer the question honestly. And again, maybe if you kind of lay that out as ground rules going into it, it can help. But
yeah, that's important. Yeah. Have the ground rules, have that ready and be open, I think.
Just right? Have fun with it. Like,
yeah.
Don't take it too seriously, but use it at the same time.
It's interesting that you say that, because so many people are saying, how do we get out of this roommate stage? And again, those two ships passing in the night. And it's like, yes, well, we need fun and playfulness to be able to get out of that. And we can also talk about flow, which is this, like you are in a present state, just being with what is coming up. And that is, you know, I think in some ways that's exactly what these conversations come back to, like brought up for us.
Right.
And I know you and I, well, I haven't told you this, but I'm telling you this now. I'm packing this on our next date night as well, because I think it's really fun for us.
It was great. Yeah. And I mean, we're in a good spot in a relationship, not perfect by any means, but I think regardless of where you are, even if you're really struggling or things are as good as they've ever been, there's really an important spot for some of these, and can really have some fun with it.
We're in a good spot today, but when you go and read, I didn't sign up for it, you're going to come to our journey of those harder moments. And I just really want to put that in there to really humanize.
Yeah, that's reality though.
You and I. Yeah, totally. All right, Greg, you have been stellar today. You just gave me an eye roll. I love having you on the podcast and having these conversations. I often I hear from so many people that they're so glad you're here, that they've been able to share these episodes with their partners who are more resistant to, of course, listening to me because they need the other side.
Sure.
And I really appreciate you entering into this conversation with me. So for you listening, I just want you to take these pieces away. First, I want you to really hear from us that this transactional season in our relationship, it shows up sometimes. And relationships go through all kinds of seasons, that there are some that are incredibly hard. And if you are in one of those hard seasons, know that this doesn't necessarily mean forever, but have that conversation with your partner by opening it up and saying, you know, we're in one of those hard seasons and we are feeling a little bit further apart. And then I think the other piece here is emphasizing that you have choices to make small steps towards connection, and that connection at our core, it's what we need, right? We hold our babies close to our hearts. As an infant, you were held close to someone, and we continue to need that all throughout our adulthood. John Bowlby said, attachment is from cradle to grave. It's just that needing to feel like we belong, like we matter, that feeling never goes away. And that there are these ways to create this closeness in your relationship by taking some small pieces of intentionality and curiosity in your partnership. So if you're looking for the guide, we haven't said this yet. I can't believe you and I have not said this. It is absolutely free. You can go to drtracyd.com/connect. Greg is holding up a piece of paper for me right now in case he thought I forgot the website. Thank you so much. Kind. I created the link and I remember. Thank you. And if you do it, please send us a DM on Instagram. I love reading your comments and your moments. I want to hear how this lands for you and your partner. So send me a DM and we just love hearing from you, and we are so grateful that you are part of this community. So, of course, I have one last big thing to ask from you, and that is, if something resonated today, please click the stars, leave us a review, or click subscribe. This helps other people find the podcast, and we just love being able to build this community, knowing that you are part of it. And I read every single one of your reviews and comments. So thank you for being here. I'm wishing you a good rest of the week, and I will see you next week. Remember, this podcast is for educational purposes only and does not substitute for the care from a licensed mental health care provider.
What's up, guys? I'm Gabrielle Stone, host of FML Talk. After being love bombed, married, and cheated on, trust me, I've got some perspective on love, heartbreak, trauma, and healing. FML Talk has become weekly therapy for my listeners, where I give you a safe space to heal with, of course, a few F-bombs thrown in. Fun girl talk episodes, solo episodes that will guide you on your healing journey, and guests with stories that will leave your jaw on the floor. Grab a cocktail and come hang with me every Wednesday on FML Talk.